brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Be like me. I say to you, be like me. As I'm saying, because I'm like you. Really, I'm no different than you. I am a sinful man. Now, I'm not good. And what I mean is,
I'm full of sin, and I do sin all the time. I sin every day and often.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, if you take away the blood of Christ, and you lift off the things the Spirit of God has wrought in me, what you see is a despicably sinful and ungodly man. That's what I was. I own that. But by Christ's blood, he died to save me from all that. He took away, he is the propitiation for our sins. He remits the sins that are past. And what about the future? Well, he changes us. And then, so that there won't be future sins. And not everyone receives that in a single package deal on the first day they hear about Christ. I've never seen that happen. And you can look at the example of Peter that we talked about. You know, he took his lumps. But there is this process of time. Tutors and governors, right? Even when you're believing. But the point is that you stay in faith. Don't go into law to try to justify yourself with God. Meaning, well, something must be wrong. Maybe there's some law, something I ought to start trying to fulfill that God will now hear my prayer. You know? I mean, you can take fasting that way. You can take all kinds of things that way. As trying to, you know, like, if I do this, then I'll make God do that. God already wants to give you that. Don't think like that. He wants to give you the things you need to be like him. He wants to give them to you. He's going to give them to you. You who walk by faith. Don't doubt that. You may doubt it, but if you do doubt it, stop. Stop doubting and believe. He will give it. Be patient. Remember that he doesn't want you to despise the way he suffers long with people. So sometimes he makes you suffer long with him. Meaning this, not that, you know, I don't like to liken sin to suffering, okay? Because it's the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is not, I mean, some sin can be suffering and it leads to suffering and it has consequences. God, I know. Okay? But there are pleasures involved. And, you know, but sometimes what I mean is you ask God for something and he doesn't give it to you right away. And it's frustrating. But he wants us to be mindful of one thing, that when we see someone else struggling, that we be not high-minded. And that we do not despise the patience of God, his goodness, his long-suffering, because it was his forbearance to judge and forbearance to punish that led you and I to repentance. See, God led us to repentance. Sometimes over, he had to put up with us for a while. And so I put up with the waiting sometimes. Because ultimately, because we can try all kinds of things, but we will never obtain righteousness by law, or by legalism, or by making deals with God. If you think you made a deal, that's not how you really got it. Because look at the righteousness, it's the gift of God. It's a gift. It's not something we go, okay, Lord, what do you want for righteousness? Fasting 40 days? What, I want righteousness. What do I got to do for you? What can I do for you? What do you want, God? How about I give you my firstborn? How about I give you... I'll stop. What can I do? I'll give a lot of money to church and you'll take away my sins. What can I pay you that you would give me this righteousness? That I might walk as Christ even walked. What can I trade? See, it doesn't come like that. These are things God wants to give you. You will not accept anything in trade for them. It's insulting. When someone who is wealthy, beyond measure, wants to give you a gift, and you insist on paying for it, it's kind of tacky and in bad taste. It's way too much pride on our part. I can't accept that. I have to pay for everything because I'm a self-sustaining kind of person. See? It's pride. Now look it. You have not injured me at all, is what he's saying. He's saying, look, you haven't hurt me. Okay? I'm like you. A weak man. That's what he says in verse 13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh. See, that verse is one of those places in the King James where they made a mistake in the translation. They do make those from time to time. And the text read, your temptation. And your temptation which was in my flesh ye despise not. Meaning, now Paul, I don't think at all he's saying, through the sinfulness of the flesh I preach the gospel. No, no, no. He would have said sinful. You know, I mean, I came into town and I hit all the brothels and I was preaching the gospel in the bars and in the crack whore and the crack dens and in the, you know, the heroin spots, you know, and I went down to the casino and I preached the gospel there and through the weakness of my sinfulness, I preach the gospel to you. Hey, Jesus will forgive us. Just believe. It's not. I mean, sometimes I use ridiculous things like that to make a point. Because, yeah, of course it wasn't that bad. But it wasn't even close to that. You understand? It wasn't even close to that. What he means? The infirmity. Infirmity means, literally, without strength. Strengthlessness. It's weakness of the flesh. And in that sense, it can mean all kinds of things. It could mean, some people have supposed Paul had some sort of malady or illness or sickness, you know. Or it could mean also that he means, like when I say, I'm a sinful man. And I don't mean that I'm full of sin. What I mean is that when you strip away what Christ has done, that's who I was, you know? And that I'm not a man who by my own strength has obtained anything in God.